Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us recall that each and every time we come together. For God did not have to bring us together again. Last Sunday could have been your last time we were together. But God has seen fit to bring us up to a new day. And we ought to be eternally grateful. This morning, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. And it's good to be able to look out upon the crowd and see all your smiling faces. Most of you are not smiling, but nevertheless, it's good to see your smiling faces anyway. You know, a smile is like the sunshine. A smile can brighten up not only your day, but it may help to brighten up my day as well. Instead of frowning all the time. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So let us try and remember that. This morning we're going to talk about following in the steps of Jesus. This morning, before we go very much farther, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, our God and Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us to give us another Sunday, O Lord, another Lord's Day that we can give honor and praises unto you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you for the church that your Son built, O Lord, and thank you for everything He has done for us. He died for us to save us, not because He needed to save Himself, but because we needed to be saved. And we thank you for that, O Lord. Father, as we come praying this morning, we're praying for those who may be sick this morning, those who may be under the weather, those who may not be feeling at their best. But we thank you for those who came out this morning, O Lord. We thank you that you have blessed them to be able to be with us this morning. And we're also praying for those who still may be on their way, that if it be your will, that you would bless them to get here safely and securely. Father, we pray for those who may be traveling. We ask you to give them your special blessings, that they may travel in peace and safety, and that they may arrive at their destination safe as well, and then be able to return to us. Lord, as we stand in the shadow of the cross, we thank you this morning, O Heavenly Father. We thank you for the leadership here and their families. We thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And we pray for those who shall come beyond from this point on. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those that are here because, Father, we know that they could have been somewhere else, but they love you enough to be here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who provide protection for us in our times of protection, need of protection. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are working in hospitals and doctor's offices to give relief to those in pain. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray and ask you to continue to bless us with your blessing. And thank you for sending your Son that day that He hung on the cross. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask all these blessings and continue to pray for all that you would give unto us, O Lord. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen. This morning from the second book of 1 Peter, starting at verse number 21 and continuing through verse number 23, follow in the steps of Jesus. We all must go through some suffering in this life, both the believers as well as the non-believers. Suffering and trouble go all the way back to the garden, but it's still going on today. We suffer and we have troubles. We have health issues. We have pain from physical aches. We suffer from heartaches caused by others, and sometimes much of our troubles and suffering are caused by our own decisions and our own mistakes. We even suffer because we are believers. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. If we live for Christ, we shall suffer. For the record tells us so. When we look at the Bible and we see how Jesus handles suffering, let us learn to follow in His steps as we watch Him handle suffering and troubles. Jesus remained sinless throughout all of His troubles. When trouble and suffering came our way, come our way, many of us think the way to handle such is to go the way of the world. We must remember to think and pray before we react. When someone wrongs you, think about how the Word of God teaches us in verses like 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. No man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. We're going to suffer some pain and suffering. And just because I walk over to your house and steal your bike, it doesn't mean that you have to steal my car. That's trouble and tribulation coming our way. Timothy continued to caution the Thessalonians not to be moved by their afflictions. Not only the preachers and the apostles were going to suffer, but so were the followers who were going to face trials and tribulations. With us today, there will be some suffering. How many of you can honestly say that you haven't had any suffering? And if you honestly say that you haven't had any suffering, I guarantee you just live on for a little while and you're going to have some suffering and some troubles. When we look at our text, we notice what Jesus says in verse number 22 of 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, the Bible says these words. Well, let us start with verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Look at verse number 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. There was no guile found in the mouth of Jesus. We as Christians need to be like Jesus, free of negativity of words. In other words, speaking without evidence, without evilness or worldly thoughts. You know, sometimes when we get in trouble, the first thing we like to do is go the way of the world. We say things we shouldn't say. We act in ways we shouldn't act. You know, when trouble comes up on us, the world comes out in us, a lot of us. Some Christians, when their suffering and tribulation come their way, they begin to think just like the world. They say those things that we should not say, and they act in those ways that we should not act. We become bitter. We develop bad attitudes, and sin comes into our lives, into play with us. Even though Christ suffered, He did not sin. Even though He had troubles, trials, and tribulations from the beginning of His cross ordeal all the way throughout His hanging on the cross. In John chapter 16 and verse number 33, Jesus said, "These things have I spoken with you that you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." As Christ was facing the end to His earthly life, He still remained sinless, and He still remained without sin upon this earth. He still was the Christ that we met from the beginning of time to the end of His earthly life. And so should we. So should we remain sinless. Now, what does that mean to remain sinless? That doesn't mean you're not going to sin. That means you don't sin willingly. That means that you should avoid evil thoughts in your mind and evil deeds in your heart. You know, it's hard sometimes to be a Christian because the world comes at you from all different sides and they bombard you with things of the world. And I mentioned this to someone just yesterday. You've heard people say, "Well, I don't have no trouble with the devil. He doesn't bother me." Wonder why. If He doesn't bother you, that means you're already one of His. Is that right? He doesn't have to bother you. But if you belong to Christ, He will bother you. He is going to buy. That's His job. And your job is to be a Christian and remain sinless and not fall into His trap. Jesus also did not seek revenge. Jesus had access to all the resources He would have ever needed, not only to offer resistance, but also to retaliate from His persecutors. Instead, He chose rather to approach His tribulation with kindness and love. Oh, that word love, that's gonna get a lot of us. That's gonna get a lot of us in trouble. In verse number 23, look what verse number 23 says. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. How many folk today would be like Jesus? How many folk would follow Jesus in His steps? They lied on Him. They called Him names. They mocked Him. But yet and still He remained sinless and He did not seek revenge. Isaiah prophesied about Him in Isaiah 53 and verse number 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before His shears, and dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Through all of this, He could have retaliated, but He did not. So many people can't do this. They can't live up to this part. They can't let things go, and many times things end up badly for someone. That's why our streets are so unsafe today. Somebody wants to get revenge for something that happened 10 years ago, or something that happened when we used to go to grammar school. And now I'm grown, I'm going to get him for this. But nevertheless, we should remain not to seek retaliation and revenge. When we can't let things go, we have to let prayer enter into our lives. Jesus had every reason in our minds to retaliate, for He was about to be crucified because of lies. He was found guilty, not by a jury of His peers, but by people who lied on Him. He was about to die for us, giving His own life in place of ours. Our loving Savior, He hung, He bled, and He died for us. Jesus is teaching mankind a lesson. And what is the lesson, some may say? Well, in Romans 12 and 17, the Bible says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of men. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If only some of our young people would embrace this concept, the streets would be a safer place and everyone could have a better life. Everyone could have a better time in this life. Now Jesus had the opportunity that He could have called 12 legions of angels, according to Matthew 26 and verse number 53. If He wanted to retaliate, He could have brought in more than 5,000 angels to rescue Him when He was arrested. He could have had vengeance on those who had lied on Him, those who treated Him badly. He could have stepped down off the cross of Calvary and went about His business and left us without a Savior. But He didn't, did He, church? He stayed on the cross. He stayed on the cross. So I ask you, can you stay the course of following in the steps of Jesus? Can you follow Jesus and the steps that Jesus walked? Can you be like Jesus? Look at verse number 23 again. Verse 22 we'll start with. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judges righteously. He committed Himself to the Lord. Do you commit yourself each and every day to God's will and God's ways? If you don't, you might want to consider doing just that. He committed Himself to the Father instead of taking revenge or retaliation. I wish somebody would hear this message this morning about the retaliation and the revenge part. I wish that someone could hear this when they got revenge on their mind and in their heart. Oh yes, I'm going to get him. Oh yes, I'm going to take care of him for doing what he did to me. And you know what? Probably what he did to you wasn't even worth you thinking about for all these years. Could have been something trivial, but yet we want to take revenge. He committed himself to him that judges righteously, according to verse number 23. Those who love and follow Christ should do the same themselves and become a light for others who don't know the Lord, that they may also follow in his steps. His suffering was because he chose to, not because he had to. He saved us instead of saving himself. So he chose the only one who was able and is still able to judge us righteously. We must let others know and understand that God is the final judge of mankind, and not we ourselves. When we look at the Bible and we look as it teaches us in Romans chapter 12 and the verses of 19 through 21, the Bible says, never take your own, dearly beloved. Dearly beloved, never take your own revenge. Beloved, leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, revenge is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. In verse 20, and this is where many Christians are going to fall short too. They lose their way following Jesus. Some say, I can't do this. I just can't do that. I can't try to do that. I don't want to try to do that. But watch what the Bible tells us. If your enemy is hungry, oh, look out for this part now. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you are heaping burning coals on his head. Now what does that mean? That simply means your action may cause his evil ways to melt away, and we may wind up winning a friend and even a Christian possibly, rather than a lingering enemy in our lives. Oh, you got to be kind to all folk, you even your enemy. And verse number 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Oh, look out now. Let me read that again. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We as members who are members of the Lord's church, the same church that he said he was going to build in Matthew 16 and 18. We are members of his body. We are his people. He is our Savior. Let us follow in his steps. Many have tried their own vengeance, and it only causes heartache for them as well as for others. This is why there are so many people are grieving and in tears today, caused by someone seeking his own or her own revenge. The Bible says in verse number 18 of Romans chapter 12, and this is something we need to learn and hear and understand. Let us live peaceably with all men. Did you hear that? We've got to try to live at peace with all men. We've got to try to be at peace with everybody. And I know it's hard sometimes to be at peace with certain groups or certain individuals, but we've got to do as if at all possible, we've got to live at peace. Let us learn that suffering is a part of this life. Let us follow in the steps of Jesus, living the way he lived, loving the way he loves us, and helping and hoping for a better life that's to come. Let us learn that loving one another. Oh, I told you this was going to be a tough part for some. Let us learn that loving one another is the way to go. Let us learn that we must love rather than hate one another. Let us learn and hear the Word of God where it talks about loving one another. In John 13 and 34, John 15 and 12, John 15 and 17, Romans 12 and 10, Romans 13 and 8, Ephesians 4 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9, 1 Peter 1 and 22, 1 John 3 and 11, 1 John 3 and 23, 1 John 4 and 7, 1 John 4 and 17, 2 John 5, all of these talk about loving one another. Now, I surmise to you that if it wasn't important, it wouldn't be in all of those different verses about loving one another. And you know, there was a song once called, "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right." Now, I suggest that you take that attitude about your Bible study and by listening to the Word of God. If you want to do right, you've got to love even those who you don't want to love, but you've got to love them just the same. Now, I'm not saying you have to hold their hand and go sit down and have lunch with them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying you have to love them in spite of their faults, because guess what? You got some faults too. In our Bible study this morning, we were talking about Jesus told the men that were surrounding the woman that they had brought to Jesus, those who are without sin, let them do what, Brother Jackson? Cast the first stone. Can you cast the stone that say, "I never had any problems, I've never done anything, I've always loved everybody"? If you can't do that, then you've got some work to do on yourself. The Word of God is not playing. We must love one another. Then I like what 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 1 says. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." In other words, without love, we can't profit anything. Now, how do I go about starting to love somebody that I don't even care about? Somebody that I hate, but I've got to love him. How do I go about that? Well, start in the Word of God. Start right there and see that Jesus perhaps didn't. Jesus could have came down off the cross, but he didn't, because John 3:16 said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, when you think about that, the world wasn't a favorable place for people to love one another back in those days, and it's not today. But you've got to, despite everything you can think of, you've got to love one another. I know my time is about up, and I'm closing up now. But I want to just tell you about loving one another. I got to tell you just a little bit about loving one another. You've got to first love God in order to love one another. Jesus gave that commandment to us that we should love one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself, but love God with all your heart and soul. And I'm reminded of something I read a little while ago. It said that there was an old farmhand, an old rancher, who had been out on the range for several weeks. And he was dusty and dirty. But he came into town and wanted to go to church. And when he got to the church door, somebody at the back door stopped him. And they said to him, "You're not properly dressed to come into the service." They said, "Go and pray about it. And then let us know after you have prayed about it." So he saw the one man who turned him away a few days later. And the man asked him, "What did you pray about it? Did you do what we suggested?" He said, "Yeah." And he said, "What did the Lord say to you?" He said, "Well, son, don't feel bad about it, because they won't let me in either." And we don't want to be a church like that, that we don't let love in. We don't let one another know that we care about them. You know, I preach many times about love. And one of the reasons I talk about love so much is because we got to do it. We've got to do it. We can't get by without it. Now, I'm not saying you don't have any fault against me because you love me. All I'm saying is you've got to love me in spite of my faults. So, when you think about it, we must follow in the steps of Jesus. We must continue to follow Jesus even when it doesn't sound right to us. It may not sound right to you, but if Jesus put it out there, if the Bible says it, then it's right. If the Bible says it, then we must follow it. We must try to live up to the words of God that are written in His Bible. And don't let anybody tell you that the Bible was written by men. It was written, God breathed a breath of inspiration into them that gave us the words of the Bible. It's God breathed. God inspired. And I know what we like to say sometimes. We like to say, well, I think man wrote that. Well, man did, but they were inspired men and women. Don't let me leave that out. I don't want the ladies coming at me. But nevertheless, we've got to learn to obey the Word of God. We've got to learn to love one another. We've got to learn to follow in the steps of Jesus. Somebody may say, where do I start at, preacher? Well, you start by coming to God, coming to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. It's a lovely day to get wet, but not just get wet, but to be baptized. And Brother Jackson would love to baptize somebody today, and I would love to see somebody baptized today. If you've already been baptized, but you found yourself falling short of the glory of God, you need to ask God to forgive you if you've got a problem. You don't have to tell us what your problem is, but just come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength, that you may continue in a strengthful and a loving relationship with the Lord. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Number 3.